Brilliant. Well, I feel privileged to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you that in your words we get to find out who you are and meet with you. We pray that you would reveal yourself again to us this morning and that we would see you as our provider. Please help us to take in these great truths this morning and change us to be more like you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, something that I like to do in my free time is I like to tinker with cars. It's a habit that I've had for many, many years. So on the weekends and things, I like tinkering with cars. And I've got a few cars that are projects at the moment. And one of the things that I do is I test circuits. So I have this little multimeter. And what I do with that is I test to see if a circuit is working or not. I see to see if there's any power. And if it works, there is a little beep. If there's power, you may or may not hear it. No, it does a little beep when it works anyway. But I realise I'm not here to give a lecture on car mechanics at all. But the reason I mention it is because God has his very own tester. But his tester tests for faith. Now, this faith tester is explained in James. Just a little heads up. I've prepared everything in ESV, so some of the quotes here might be ESV, but when I do the reading in just a moment, I'll read it from the NIV that you guys have got here, but just to give you a heads up. So James 1, 2 to 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, in these verses, we see that the testing of faith comes when we meet various trials, trials of various kinds. And today's passage, we see a massive test of faith. So if you could turn to Genesis 22, and that is on page 22. I'll read from verse 1. So Genesis 22 from verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him, because I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because I have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all the nations on the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Here in Genesis 22, verse 1, we're told that God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham with a huge test of faith. This command from God couldn't have been any clearer. There is no space for interpretation. The command is what the command is. If you look down at verse 2, God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God is asking Abraham to make a human sacrifice of his son, Isaac. Now, this is shocking to us now to hear, but at this time in history, human sacrifice was not unheard of for Abraham. It was something that the pagan people of Canaan were doing, offering their sons and their daughters in sacrifice to their fake gods. God is asking Abraham to do no more than what the people of Canaan were already doing to their fake gods. Now, this is a real challenge for us, making us question why God, a good and loving God, commands Abraham to commit human sacrifice, as it totally contradicts the rest of the Bible. We see in multiple places God be totally against human sacrifice, calling it an abomination. And let's have a look at one of those verses now, so you can see the words on the screen. Deuteronomy 18, 9 and 10. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. So, although other religions of the time are sacrificing their children to their fake gods, God is totally against human sacrifice. But the reason God can command it here, as we see in verse 1, this is a test. God has no intention for this sacrifice of Isaac to go ahead. God commands it to Abraham because it is the ultimate test to see if Abraham is really, truly, faithfully trusting God and his promises, even more than the love that he has for his son, Isaac. There is no greater test that Abraham could face, especially when we look back at previous verses to see all the things that Abraham has gone through to get to this point of being Isaac's father. Now, don't turn there, but I'll just do a quick summary of what they've gone through in recent chapters. So in chapter 12, God has promised for the first time that famous promise, I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In chapter 15, Abraham is in doubt that God will keep his promise, as him and Sarah are getting older, and yet they still continue childless, and their heir is a member of their household. But God reassures Abraham that his heir will be his very own son, and reminded him of his promise, saying, look towards heaven and number the stars. If you're able to number them, so shall your offspring be. In chapter 16, Abraham and Sarah are still childless, and so they take things into their own hands. Sarah had a female Egyptian servant called Hagar. Sarah gave her to Abraham as a wife, and he went into Hagar and she conceived. But in chapter 17, God then promised Abraham a son through Sarah. And in chapter 21, the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. So it's been a really difficult journey for Abraham, with doubt, attempt to take control, even with God's assurance at every point. It's been really tough for him. And so we get to this point where Abraham now has a son, Isaac, and he must feel that everything is coming together. Everything in his life is good. He's got his son, he's got this promise, and everything is going well. And also in verse 12 of chapter 21, God says, "For through Isaac shall your offspring be named." So everything is going to plan. This great nation that God has promised him is coming through this son, Isaac. And so Abraham, he must be so joyful, thinking everything is going to plan. Well, until God says to sacrifice his son, Isaac, in verse 2. The son who Abraham waited for and that God promised, and that God promised that through Isaac shall Abraham's offspring be named. What a difficult, very, very difficult test God is giving Abraham here. I'm sure there are some parents here, and I'm sure it must be really easy to imagine how you would feel if you were Abraham. Heartbreak, terrified, scared. And I had a little bit of a feeling. Now, I'm not a father, I'm not a parent, but I do have four cats. Now, one of these cheeky little monkeys, called Lara, went missing for a couple of days. And it was very unusual for her. And as if you were anywhere in London over this last week, it was very, very hot. And so she went missing on like the hottest days of the year. And it was really terrifying for me and my wife. We didn't know if she was going to come back. She did come back in the end. And now she has a little tracker and a little bell that she's really, really happy about to have around her neck. But back to Abraham, how much more terrified must Abraham be here? What is he going to do? What is he going to do? Well, we don't have to wait long in our passage. In verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So Abraham here has no hesitation. He gets up early in the morning, gets everything ready, and sets off. Now this is incredible. Abraham jumps straight on to this difficult command that God has made. But it's not that easy. It's not like just pulling a trigger and then it's done. No, verse 3, we're told, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Abraham had 3 days of traveling with Isaac to get to the place of where he was to make this sacrifice. So Abraham has 3 days of thinking it over, what God is asking him to do. He must be questioning why he must do this. How will God fulfill his promise if he goes ahead with this? Can he go ahead with what God is asking him to do? And I'm sure there were many, many other questions and thoughts during that 3-day journey. Now, during this journey, Abraham comes to the conclusion that God will keep his word. He doesn't know how, but we know he was definitely thinking about it, thinking maybe God will raise Isaac back from the dead. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. So who knows how many different scenarios he came up with in his head on what was going to happen, but he was confident that Isaac would return with him back down the mountain. We see this in the confidence of what he says to his servants in verse 5. Then Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." He has faith that somehow God will keep his promise and that Isaac will return back with him, which he did. This is amazing faith. Abraham, with his faith in God, continues with God's command. Verses 9 and 10, when they came to that place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. And we get our answer in the next few verses on how God is going to keep his promise to Abraham. Verses 11 to 12. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Here we see the reason why God has tested Abraham. God wanted to know for sure that Abraham had true faith and fear in God. Abraham was willing to do anything God commanded of him, and there is no doubt of that. God has given him such an extreme test that proves that. Now, faith, when never exercised, grows weak. We see this in our own lives as Christians. Our faith, when tested, when we go through hard times, is what strengthens our faith. And alternatively, when everything's going well for us, then this is when we'll notice that our faith weakens. God, in love, tested Abraham and made his faith strong. The more severe the test, when passed, the stronger the faith becomes. If God had given him an easy test, it wouldn't have meant anywhere near as much of Abraham's faith. But because of this extreme test, it proves his faith. And so the chapter, it doesn't end there. Verse 13 and 14, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" That day, God provided a substitution for Isaac. A ram. A ram was given as a burnt offering instead of Isaac. This demonstrates God's provision and faithfulness to Abraham. Here we come across a new name for God, the first occurrence for this name of God in the Bible. When Abraham names that place, "The Lord will provide," God is named Yahweh Jireh, "The Lord will provide." This whole passage of Abraham and Isaac is supposed to point us straight to Jesus and his death on the cross, proving that the Lord will provide. When we compare this passage with the life of Jesus, we can't help but notice similarities. Isaac is described three times in verse 2, verse 12, and verse 16 as Abraham's son, his only son. We're supposed to notice this repetition and emphasis and see how this points us to Jesus, God's only son that we're told about in John 3:16. Some of you might know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Abraham showed that he was willing to sacrifice his son for God. As he lifted up that knife to kill his son, God was also willing to sacrifice his son for us as he sent his son, Jesus, to be killed on a Roman cross. Verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took it in his hand, the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together." Here, Isaac carried the wood for his sacrifice, and Jesus did the same by carrying his own wooden cross for his sacrifice. In John 19:16. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross. Now, there is much debate on Isaac's age at the time of this near sacrifice of Isaac. It's generally accepted between all the commentators and others that he's somewhere between the age of 13 and 37, so it's quite a big age range. Now, I believe he's sort of 20-ish upwards. There are multiple reasons for this. First is that Isaac would have needed to be strong enough to carry the large amount of wood needed for his own burnt offering. Second is that he would have needed to be intelligent enough to question his father in verse 7 when he asked, "Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" But also in Abraham's two servants. Now, that same word for servants is used later on in verses 5 and 12 as boy to describe Isaac. So, and Abraham's servants are not exactly going to be young boys, are they? Otherwise, they'd be more of a hindrance than help for a three-day trek for Abraham, who is maybe 120-ish at this time. Now, the reason that I've researched into this is so that we can see the contrast between Abraham, his age and his strength, and the strength and age of Isaac. We see here on one side, we see an old 120-ish year old weak man, and on the other hand, we have a young 20-ish strong man in his prime, which shows us that Abraham was not in any kind of position to forcefully bound Isaac and sacrifice Isaac. So I believe a conversation must have been had between the two, resulting in Isaac submitting to his father's will and allowing himself to be nearly sacrificed. And again, we see the same in Jesus in Luke 22, praying to his father. "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus too submits to his father's will, allowing himself to be sacrificed. And on top of all these things, we see that Isaac's near sacrifice happened in the land of Moriah. In verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the Mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And this place is the same area to where Jesus was crucified at Golgotha, where God ultimately provided blessing to the world, fulfilling that promise to Abraham that he'd made by providing a substitution, allowing salvation for the world. Isaac that day had a ram as a substitution for his life. And Jesus is described by John in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As Christians, Jesus is our substitution, the Lamb, the sacrifice that took the punishment on that cross, all the sins of those who believe in him. Even this early on in the Bible, it is pointing us straight to Jesus on the cross. Isn't that amazing? And so for us as Christians here today, we have so much to learn from this. As Abraham names God here, Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. We've seen that this name for God is very fitting. These verses have pointed us to Jesus' death on the cross, where the Lord provided salvation to us all. This is the highlight of what God has provided for us. This is the most important provision of all. It is the provision that we no longer need to face judgment of God, as Jesus has already faced this on our behalf. This was a costly sacrifice to God by the sending of his only son. Because of this amazing and great provision of a sacrifice, we know that God will provide for all of our needs. And this is greatly shown to us in Romans chapter 8, 32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Not only has he given us the greatest provision and provided us with all that we need, but we also do not need to be anxious about anything. But we can come to our Father in prayer about anything. We can put all of our worries and requests on him, and he will deal with it. And we can do this in thanksgiving, knowing that God has already given us the greatest provision through his Son. We see this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. However, we too, like Abraham, face tests, as we saw in James earlier. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. We can count it as joy when we're being tested, knowing that our faith is being strengthened, bringing us closest to God. When we're struggling through trials and tribulations, we can count that as joy. Like he did with Abraham, we know that he's going to do it out of love, strengthening our faith. And so, if you're not a Christian here today, can I urge you to find out more about this God that provides? Maybe speak to someone who brought you here today, and I'm sure they'd be glad to talk it through with you. But let me just close this morning with another word of prayer. Father, thank you that you are the Lord that provides. Thank you that you provided your only Son, Jesus, who paid for our sins on that cross. Father, we pray that you would help us to rely on you and that you would strengthen us in faith as you test us through various trials. We pray that you would help us, each and every one of us, through these trials so that we might be strengthened and our faith might be strengthened in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.